Hi, this is Perry Cohen with the next episode of Conversations with Perry and Friends. In our first episode, we talked about the role of government in healthcare. Then our next episode, we talked about the role of employers in healthcare. And for something a little different today, we're going to talk about the role of artificial intelligence in healthcare. And the theme of all these programs is we find somebody that I know and respect in the industry on the topic, and we have a short conversation of hopefully topics that are interest to you. And today we're very lucky to have Sar Mana, Chief Executive Officer of Banjo Health. I've known Sar for a few years. I've been impressed with his background and his knowledge of AI, and he was willing to come on board today and have a conversation with me. Sar, can you please share a bit about your background in Banjo Health for the group?
Will do. And Perry, first of all, thank you so much for having me on today. It's really exciting to meet with you, speak to your audience, and hopefully, we're going to have a fun conversation. My background is a bit peculiar, right? I'm not your typical healthcare insider with how I got into it. I started out actually my career as an investment banker, and then from there got recruited into a PBM startup where I actually had the opportunity to see and wear a lot of different hats and see a lot of different operations inside of the pharmacy benefit manager. We were fortunate enough to partner with one of the largest managed Medicaid plans in the country. And then from there, I got front row seats to what was going on in their specialty drug prior authorization area. At which point I said, boy, there's an opportunity here to help streamline this process and really drive value for the members and actually helping them get that life-altering therapy more quickly. AI was at its point at not necessarily being widely adopted in 2019, but we thought, hey, we could really leverage artificial intelligence to help streamline the approval and review process for these prior authorizations for complex medications. Today, Banjo Health is doing this across 8 different clients, over 20 million lives. We've had a huge impact processing over 2 million PAs a year. So I'm really, proud of our team and what we've accomplished, but this isn't meant to be a big billboard ad for Banjo.
Okay, well, thank you for the background, Sar. Before we get started, I want to talk about artificial intelligence and how it's impacting many aspects of our lives these days. I have a little co-pilot. We hear about different things, AI this, AI that. But today, we want to focus on AI in healthcare. And I did a little research, and they said there's basically four areas that AI is being used in healthcare currently. The first one is biomedical and health research, things like genome sequencing. Number two are diagnostics, which means like interpreting imaging for diagnoses and the role of AI in that activity. Number three are clinically adjacent functions like note-taking, and I think prior auth can fall into that category. And the last one, which I think is the quickest uptake right now, is administrative task, patient scheduling, and maybe you could put prior auth in that as well. So there's these four buckets of these activities. So the question to you for our next topic, where are you seeing the most AI-related innovation in managed healthcare?
Yeah, it's a great question. Really, when you start to think about it, the administrative portion of what goes on in managed care is one of the biggest areas where there's a lot of efficiencies to be gained. There's a number of workflows that occur in the back office right now that are just multiple screens, multiple databases, multiple points of entry, and AI can really drive that efficiency. But kind of what you alluded to earlier and was, really astute in noting was that, hey, prior authorization's got a clinical component. It's got an administrative component because you want to make sure that the therapy that's selected is clinically appropriate for that member. And health plans and PBMs, they invest a lot in developing those clinical guidelines. They invest a lot in trying to make those guidelines operational. But at the same time, we have to figure out, hey, where is this therapy going to be administered? How much is it? Are we going to pay? When are we going to go and push for how long are we going to do it? Those are administrative tasks that have to actually go on as well and actually have to be recorded in the system of record. This is where AI does a wonderful job of marrying the two and making it more streamlined for that individual employee who's having to work on these cases, the case manager, the UM team, and really making both all those teams more efficient. I'd say the biggest points to gain are going to continue to be in that sort of clinical adjacent category, but really administrative tasks, we're going to see the most near-term impact going forward of AI.
Okay. And administrative tasks, would that be like member engagement, cost management, utilization management? Are those examples of administrative tasks?
It definitely can be. I mean, something like UM might be a little bit more clinically adjacent in some of the tasks that are going on there. But certainly with, say, hey, scheduling, claim processing, formulary, eligibility check, those will be administrative in nature.
Okay, great. So now let's look at the other side of the coin, the physician, and how his or her world is changing with AI these days. What do physicians wish payers understood about the burden of administrative work and how AI can remove rather than shift that burden?
So I grew up in a family of doctors. So I'm the black sheep of the family who chose not to go to med school. And lo and behold, still working in healthcare one way or the other. And what I hear from my uncles, my cousins is I didn't train for 12 years to be a data entry clerk. I didn't train to go on a phone call and have a debate and go back and forth, right? It's cognitive overload. It's developed a sense of mistrust and burnout between the payer and the provider. And to an extent, actually, we'll hear it from some of the doctor folks who will say, like, this feels like a cat and mouse game, and that's not the intent of what's going on, right? And I think AI, what it's doing in a wonderful way with companies like Suki and Nuance, et cetera, is what they're able to do is actually streamline that note-taking capability, but then drive that in to what's going on the administrative task in the back office and really help them create a better submission of the PA. So at the same time, I think what AI is really doing is it's helping out that provider office. But at the same time, listen, there's a lot of technology being thrown at these doctors really, really fast, and they're having to make a lot of decisions. They're already making decisions on patient care. So it ends up being one of those areas where you can kind of go into it. Now, here's a weird nuance, though, right? If we're doing AI for prior authorization submission and we're doing AI for prior authorization review, at some point it turns into the machines or talking to the machines, that could in one way be good, but in another way, for especially clinically complex, can be challenging. I think that's where having those guardrails, the human in the loop, is super important for the future of healthcare. We can really embrace AI for those tasks that aren't really going to be putting the clinician at the top of their license, but using it for, allowing the clinician to work at the top of their license for those areas and tasks where it's like, hey, I did train 12 years to actually have this discussion with the payer and make sure this is the right therapy or treatment for the patient.
Okay, so it sounds like physicians need to tolerate impact of AI, then understand it, and then figure out how to make it the workflow simpler, no matter what the task is, whether it's prior auth or, patient scheduling and stuff. All right. There's many AI tools aimed to speed decision making. And in healthcare, I think most patients want a good decision versus a fast decision. People in business want a fast decision, and they don't care if it's good or not. But it's not like the financial services world where if you make a mistake, it's a few dollars. This is somebody's life. Okay. Go ahead.
So in that context, better doesn't just mean faster, right? It has to be contextual, it has to be explainable, it has to be aligned with what is the desired outcomes for all parties. For physicians, it can oftentimes just mean knowing what is actually important upfront, what's covered, what won't be covered, what is part of the eligibility, and what are the areas where they maybe have to have a discussion. But for payers, it just means that they can confidently apply those policies without excessive appeals. Really, oftentimes, if it's going to go through an appeal and then an approved appeal, that was a redundancy that creates member abrasion, patient abrasion, which nobody wants. And especially for patients, boy, they don't want to have surprises. They don't have to go to their local pharmacy and then, hey, here, I thought mine was going to be approved and now it's not approved. So AI is not just there also to accelerate the decision, but it's supposed to harmonize across all stakeholders, reducing that friction and actually, help rebuild trust.
Okay, so we seem to be going down a little path talking a lot about prior authorization. And I think if you go to Washington, D.C. these days, you talk to the big payers, prior auth is a poster child for hating managed care. I mean, that's the way I look at it. Why is AI especially good for prior authorization?
Yeah,
How does that marriage work?
it's a great question. It's a little tongue in cheek on my part, but I'll say that maybe like Banjo Health had something to do with that because in 2019 we weren't talking about AI for prior authorization, but here we are and folks are looking at it. Reason why I'll tell you why Banjo selected it as the use case is that the data is structured in a very interesting way, right? You look at, especially in drug world, you're going to look at data that comes in semi-structured, structured, and unstructured formats. With regards to the prior authorization request, oftentimes they can be standardized to a point where you can just get without AI-based automations, right? We saw this with electronic prior authorization with NCPDP format for EPA. What we're doing is we're taking that further with specialty drug. Now, this then applying that same EPA concept, you can actually do something similar with regards to on the medical side with procedure, imaging, and lab. So the data has actually gotten to a point where you're seeing enough flow through back and forth. And it's really become that point of friction because of the fact that this is that sort of, that's the 1 yard line mark, right? Are we going to get to the end zone or not? And this is where it turns into the point of friction where all the focus is on. So because the data is structured so well, because of the urgency around the task, and because of the back and forth with the information sharing, AI becomes particularly good in this use case, at least right away. As we move on to further use cases, things like maybe formulary eligibility, those are areas where you're going to start to see AI actually make impacts for what we look on. So prospective view as opposed to simply retrospective view.
Okay, so with this AI inside of prior auth and utilization management, will we end up with fewer appeals?
In theory, you ought to end up with fewer appeals because you're applying the policies correctly the first time. And the information required should have been already been selected correctly the first time. Right? Again, what AI is really doing is it's identifying the relevant information and obviating it to the front of the provider's office or to the reviewer at the payer inside of the payer's four walls.
So let me just advance it a little bit. So if can AI learn about maybe the ordering or prescribing of a specific physician, and when that physician comes back second, third, and fourth time, the prior auth process is more efficient because it's kind of learned about this doctor and what he or she does?
That's one of the great things about machine learning based AI is that it's actually able to learn from past results, apply those learnings going forward. So yes, it should be able to do that.
Okay, well that'll help everybody. Okay, so let's talk about how payers are balancing automation, and I consider AI a form of automation, just in my little world, with member outcomes. Because at the end of the day, employers, who hire health insurance companies, PBMs, whatever, they want best outcomes at the lowest cost. And so how does this automation balance that, especially with prior auth?
So, I mean, here's the interesting part, especially at the time we're in right now. You're seeing a number of payers publicly make a pledge to reduce the burden of prior authorization. You're seeing groups like United actually remove swaths of policies and requirements for PA, oftentimes because, hey, they were seeing approval rates north of 90%, at which point it's like, well, why are we even you going forward with the prior authorization? So I think the downstream impact of all this efficiency is also going to see that you're not going to get into a deny first or a triage first model. You're actually going to get to, I think, something that's going to be a little bit more collaborative, helps elevate the right request, not just working on weeding out to the wrong ones, and where member outcomes really come into focus. I think what you're also going to start to see is policies drafted in such a way that are really focused on outcomes for the member, as opposed to prospectively looking into, hey, what is this simply just for a cost management? And this is really where we've been pushing healthcare for going forwards, is that we want to drive towards better member outcomes. And AI is really going to help facilitate that because now the complexity of those kinds of policies becomes easier to manage.
So the process will become more efficient. Then the burden still relies on the payer to decide when and how they want to apply prior auth or policy, what's important to manage. But this will be a more efficient tool for them to use when they decide to use it. So at the payer level, United or whoever, they may decide to not prior auth 100 things, only 17 things. But when they do prior auth these 17 things, it'll be a process that I won't say physicians will welcome, but it'll be better than it is today.
It should be exactly that. It should be more collaborative and really focusing on, hey, what is specific to this member on those 17 or whatever that number ends up being.
Okay, so let's pivot a little bit and let's talk about the conversation between physicians and pharmacists around drug therapy. Okay, how do you see AI changing the conversation between physicians and pharmacists?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? If you really look at it, pharmacists are one of the most trusted members in the delivery of care. And they're oftentimes the person that a lot of patients are interacting with the most frequently, as opposed to their physician or the physician's office. So in that way, pharmacists are not only becoming just care navigators, and oftentimes they can also become benefit navigators, right? So this elevates the role of the pharmacist beyond what was probably originally conceptualized when it was, originally brought up. AI can really serve as an augmentation tool here at this point, aligning the pharmacist with understanding what is, what is the physician really targeting to accomplish here? What is the payer policy hoping to accomplish here? What are the alternatives that, maybe at the point of dispensing could make a better outcome for the patient? When you start to look at, DURs or MTM, it can actually really help out by already obviating that to the pharmacist right at the point of dispensing, the point of sale. So it can streamline those step therapy paths. It can project those prior authorization requirements if they're going to arise. So it really, what it does is it obviates it to the front of the pharmacist and brings it at their fingertips, allowing them to actually have a better way to support their patients and keeping clinical intent in mind of the physician.
Okay. So what am I hearing from you that AI can finally bridge the gap between the payer side medical policy, what we're going to cover, the rules of that, and the reality of what happens to physicians?
Well, it's not going to just be like a magic bullet, right? You're going to need a lot of different folks getting involved, working to actually build those connections. I would love to just go into Gemini or ChatGPT and say, hey, like, go ahead and bridge the policy. It's still going to take a lot of smart people to go ahead and, get ahead and put those, tools in front of the right folks and make sure that they're keeping it up to date.
So AI will be embedded in a lot of activities that payers do, but there's also service providers that find a little niche and add service activities on top of just the AI itself. And you just can't grab a piece of AI and just throw it in. It's got to be evolved over years, it sounds like, and refined to become a very effective tool to do it. How have you changed AI since you launched Banjo?
Yeah, so that's a great question, right? So when we launched Banjo, we started out using what's called a methodology using Bayesian-based approach, which basically it's a statistical or historical approach. We said, hey, you approved PAs like this 87% of the time when they were requested. This one looks 97% similar to the 87%. Go ahead and just approve this one. The interesting thing is in drug world, the similarities will not be a reason why you approve something, right? We try to actually go ahead and take a look at each request individually as opposed to as a class. And that there's where the language and the nuances of that particular member are really important to take a look at. And we came to this realization and working with our early pilots. And what we did is we pivoted from a Bayesian or a mathematical approach into a language-based approach, really diving into the unstructured portion of the chart notes and saying what can be done here. That did require us to change some of our technology. It did require us to actually change a little bit of our approach with how we're looking at the policy. And in turn, it's actually resulted in better outcomes for our clients by doing that.
Okay. Let's talk about PBMs for a minute. Also on the Budweiser hot seat is PBMs these days with legislature. How do they work? Transparency is a big word these days. How are the leading payers and PBMs thinking about explainability in AI, especially when clinical or cost decisions are challenged?
So, great question. And the requirement really doesn't just not just there for PBMs, it's also there for payers, right? What CMS had put in with 57F is you actually, when you do a denial, you have to provide more than just, hey, this was denied for medical necessity. So the interesting thing is, AI has normally been approached as it's a black box, it's not really explainable, it can't really get into why it made a decision. And even if it provides you with a reasoning for a past decision in generative AI, it's gonna still be a hallucination or not really a direct explainable for what the previous token or the previous answer was. What we've done at Banjo Health and what I think we're going to see more of is that you have to have that explainability, and the best way to do it is to actually have a trail that is independent from the AI that you can actually go ahead and point to and actually have those reason codes inside of it. And for that, approach, that's where, we think that, this is going to be, well, a big driver for NCQA compliance, URAC compliance as well. And it's going to lead to having greater explainability. So that's one of the other reasons why a human always has to be in the loop, even with AI there.
Okay. All right. As we come to the end of our 30 minutes together, what's the biggest myth about how AI is transforming patient care and the patient payer landscape?
So I alluded to this a little bit earlier, right? But AI is not going to fully replace human decision making. In reality, it's going to reshape the conditions in which humans are making decisions because it's going to surface better insights. It's going to catch those edge cases and really try to reduce that administrative sludge. It's not going to be ready out of the box, and that's one of those things. AI becomes more successful as it gets more learning. So it's going to be AI in healthcare is going to be a lot of tech It's going to be some policy alignment, but it's also going to be building stakeholder trust. That's the reality, is that AI is not going to replace you. It's simply going to augment you.
I love that phrase, stakeholder trust. Who owns that process to create the trust with stakeholders?
I think it's companies like Banjo who are, working to deliver those AI-based solutions, who have to deliver that trust.
Okay. And the last question is, let's talk about, you got your crystal ball. Imagine a future where physicians, payers, and patients share a real-time AI-enabled infrastructure. What becomes possible that isn't today?
What we finally stop fighting over data and we start collaborating over outcomes, right? This is the fully aligned world where we start to say, hey, we're at this moment, a physician writes an order, and at that point of order entry, they are getting real-time feedback on appropriateness, coverage status, patient cost. And the payer's not just looking at codes, they're looking at rationale, like, hey, why is this particular patient, if it's going to fall out for denial, why is the provider still pushing so hard? And they can actually get to that at that point of order entry. So we're going to be moving to this future where care will not only be, on the outcomes, more efficient, but also immediate. And that's what at the end of it is going to do, is going to deliver that respect to the member and the patient to give them the outcomes they deserve.
Well, I've learned a lot today, and I've opened some doors. I got to learn some more things, but I think we checked the box on AI and healthcare and its impact. And I want to thank Sar for joining us, and I want to thank you for listening in to Conversations with Perry and Friends. Until next time, this is Perry Cohen. Have a nice day.